We are started last week, and we're going through a series I'm calling Courageous Faith, Key to Miracles. And so I started last week, but, you know, last week being April Fool's, somebody had messed with my computer, the computer people, and I didn't have all my message at 20 after 9 when I go to print out my message, nothing would happen. And so then I go to try to print out another one. I couldn't even find it. So, haha, that was funny. But it saved you from a long message because basically I did half last week, and now we're going to finish it this week. And so what I did, in case you didn't bring your notes with you, is I went ahead and filled the blanks for last week. So even if you weren't here last week, you can just pretend like you were. You've got the blanks, you know, so you know what we talked about. But, you know, there's a lot of people that get stuck in safe slavery. We talked about it last week. They're enslaved by a relationship or by a fear, enslaved by a habit, or they're enslaved by a compulsion, or they're enslaved by a thought. You know, I have to do a certain thing, and to let go of this, and they really don't like it. But at least it's predictable. It's safe. You know, the fear is safe. It's comfortable, you know. And we talked about last week, talked about Numbers and in the book of Numbers and about the children of Israel and how they wanted to do the safe thing. You know, the 12 guys reported back about the promised land and 10 of them said, no, no. And so, you know, the children of Israel saying, well, you know, I want to go back to Egypt where they've been enslaved for 400 years. And it was because it was safe, you know. And sometimes we confuse slavery and safety. They're not the same thing, you know. You know, we think, well, I know it's a bad situation, but at least it's predictable. I know this habit is self-defeating, but it's comfortable. It's just who I am. It's what I do. It's who I am. There's no real freedom without taking risks. Safety and freedom are on opposite ends in the of the continuum, and you're either moving more towards safety and slavery, or you're moving more towards taking risks and freedom. And God made you, I said this last week, God made you to be a risk taker. He made you to live by faith. And we kind of closed last week saying, don't die in the desert. So this morning what I want to do is contrast what we talked about last week, which is living a life in fear rather than living a life in faith. I want to contrast that with what the Bible says happens when we start to live our lives seeing everything through God's eyes, seeing everything by faith, learning to be a dreamer, learning to see God's vision, learning to look at things not as they are but as they could be. You know, how do you do that, and what difference does it make in our lives? So I want to explain this to you. You know, Connie sang and the worship team sang, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. What do we see when our heart is opened with eyes of faith? When we see life from God's perspective. So I'm going to give you this morning six things. Could probably give you 24, but you already gave me a pass last week, so I won't do that. I'm going to give you six things that you see from God's eyes when you see with eyes of faith. The first one is faith shrinks my problems. The first thing that I do when I begin to open the eyes of my heart and I begin to see what God is doing, when God opens my heart and I begin to see what God is doing around me and I begin to look at things from God's viewpoint, it shrinks my own problems. It gives a new perspective. When you see your problem from God's point of view, then everything gets a whole lot more manageable. If you have a big God, problems get small. If you've got a small God, problems get big. I think I shared this before. I remember years ago when we started a church in Anthem, we met in a school, and in the wintertime, one day we showed up and all the electricity was off. And it was chilly in the cafeteria where we met. And, you know, I'm like, I don't know, what are we going to do? I think I'm doing something wrong with this mic. What are we going to do? You know, and I'm like, man, maybe we should just call everybody and let them know. And one of the guys that was, we used to unload two trailers. It was like moving a three-bedroom house every week. And so one of the guys, he's working, Joe McBride, he's working alongside of me. He was there every Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, one of these great servants. And he looked at me and he goes, Pastor Dale. I said, yeah, how big is your God? I'm like, oh, okay, sermon's done, you know. When you come to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, you're a big God, and you can handle this problem, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to just let you work it out. I'm going to trust you in this. I'm seeing with the eyes of faith. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I'm going to let you work it out, God. Then you can relax. You'll say, how is it going to be solved? Well, that's God's problem. You know? It's not my problem. It's God's problem. Faith shrinks my problems. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? What's the answer? No. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Luke 1:37, Jesus says, for nothing is impossible with God. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. So the first thing is faith shrinks my problems. The second thing, when we see from God's eyes, is faith opens the door for a miracle. Faith can move mountains. If you study the Bible and if you study history, you find that every time God moves out on earth and does a miracle, it's because somebody believed. You know, faith opens the door to miracles. In Mark, in the New Testament, chapter 11, 22 through 24, Jesus said this. Have faith in God. If you have faith in God and you don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it would. Whatever you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have faith. Now, what is he talking about here? Telling a mountain to jump in the sea. You know, God has set up the universe in a hierarchy of laws, and the law of faith is actually a higher law than the laws of nature. That's where miracles come in. Because when faith is used, the law of faith goes into practice, and God set up the fact that the law of faith can actually do more than the laws of physics. If you actually had the real faith, you'd say, go jump into an ocean and the mountain would. Now, the question is, you know, we read that in the Bible, and you might ask, well, does God still perform miracles today? The answer is, of course. Of course he does. You know, one of the reasons I'm excited about this series is during this series, the Courageous Faith series, Key to Miracles, we're going to see some miracles. I believe we're going to see them in our church. Every time you stretch your faith, God does miracles. Every single time. My question is, as we're getting ready to start this series, what's the mountain in your life? We all have one. You know, what's the mountain in your life? What's the mountain that needs to be moved? What's the thing, and you look at that thing, and that thing has never moved. You know, it hasn't moved. It's not going to move. It never will move. What is the mountain in your life that you're saying, it's not going to change? You've already decided it. And that's a self-defeating or self-fulfilling prophecy. How do you know? How do you know it's not going to change? Maybe God wants to do a law of faith superseding the law of nature. He's done it in the past. He's done it in the present. He has done it all around the world. Faith opens the door for miracles. God is in the mountain moving business. You must not doubt. It was almost a year ago today. Yeah, it'll be about the end of this month. When after church, we had a time of prayer for my brother Daniel and for me. And I didn't know I was sick. Daniel knew he was sick. And we had a time of prayer up here. And we were asking for miracles. Daniel, you're here today. I'm here today. God is in the work of miracles. Look at this verse in Matthew 13:58. It says, Jesus did not do many miracles there. He's talking about a town that he was in because of their lack of faith. Their lack of faith caused Jesus to not do many miracles. You might be thinking, I don't see many miracles in my life. I wonder why. Are you seeing with eyes of fear or are you seeing with eyes of faith? Faith shrinks my problems. It opens the door to miracles. And here's the third thing faith does. Faith moves God to act on my behalf. It moves God to act on my behalf. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this. It moves God to act on my behalf. I do not believe and I do not subscribe to the health and wealth theology where God really ends up being a servant and that God serves you rather than you serving God. And in many versions of this, you know, many versions of the health and wealth theology and preaching that we see sometimes on TV, God becomes a genie where you rub the bottle and you pray the prayer and you drop the 50-cent piece in the slot machine or whatever, and then you hit the jackpot. No, God is not your genie. God is God, and you're not. He is not there to cater to your every whim. He's not. He's just not. That's why Elder Chip prayed. We pray for a miracle, but we pray for God's will, understanding that God is God. But at the same time, Matthew 9:29, Jesus said this, according to your faith, it will be done to you. God says, you get to choose how much I bless your life according to your faith. It will be done to you. Do you want God's blessing in your life? Humbly expect him to use you. God does exactly what you expect him to do. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. If you expect God to do a little in your life, he'll do a little. If you expect God to do a lot, he'll do a lot. If you don't expect God to do anything, he won't do anything. This is why I'm going to, during this series, I want to push you on your faith in this series. This is why I'm going to stretch you and challenge you, because I don't want you to be satisfied with playing in the kiddie beach in the shallows of life. I want you to put on your big boy swimming suit and I dive in the deep end, and I want you to challenge yourself to believe God more than you've ever believed him before. You don't start by expecting God to do miraculous mountain-moving miracles on day one. You start by developing the muscle of faith a little at a time. When you see God in the little things, then you have faith in God in the bigger things. And then in the bigger things, you just keep pressing and pushing and stretching. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Any of you as a parent knows that as a mom or dad, fathers love to bring pleasure to their kids, and even more to their grandkids, I might say. When they do that, it brings them pleasure. It gives God pleasure providing for you. It gives God pleasure watching you succeed. He goes, that's my girl. You know, she's being exactly who I made her to be. That's my boy. He's being exactly who I made him to be. The Bible says God takes pleasure in the success of his saints. That verse, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. See, the problem with us is we think the wrong thing moves God. God is not moved by our complaints. No, he is never moved by griping, my complaining, my grumbling, my whining. None of that moves God. God is moved when I say, God, I'm going to trust you. And I'm expecting you to keep your promise. You put your name on that promise, and I'm expecting you to do it. That brings me to the fourth benefit of faith, and that's faith unlocks all the promises of God. Yeah, I think I've said this before, but you know, there's over 7,000 promises in God's Word, in the Bible. From cover to cover, over 7,000 promises. They're kind of like blank checks waiting for you to claim them. If you want to be a person of faith, a man of faith, or a woman of faith, you must learn to become a promise person. You know, memorize the promises of God so that you can claim them in your life when you need them. Now, what does God have to say about all 7,000 of those promises? In 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ." Circle that, yes in Christ. All of the promises that God has made in His Bible, in His Word, in His Scripture, are yes in Christ. And faith unlocks the promises of God. Let me put it this way. What if you were to find, let's say you just bought a house, an old house, and the people died and nobody claimed the leftovers, and you know, so you're going through the attic. Now, for some of you, this would be like, oh, this is great, you know, better than a garage sale. You're going through the attic, and you find a letter promising $1 million to anybody who finds the letter. Would that spark your interest? Yeah, it might. You would be interested. Would it be useful if you didn't know who wrote it? No. You know, it would be worthless. You could be holding on to a promise that says, "I will give whoever has this letter $1 million. But you can only use it. You can only claim the promise if you knew the name and the address of the person making the promise. The promises of the Bible only apply to those who know the author. You know what I mean? To those who know the name of Jesus, all the promises are yes in Christ. When you know Him personally, now you know the guarantor of all the promises of Scripture, and faith unlocks them. Here's a fifth thing faith does. Faith turns God-given dreams into reality. Faith turns God-given dreams into reality. Now, this is so important. We're going to spend an entire session on it during the series on courage to dream. We're going to talk about that because nothing happens until somebody starts dreaming. I want to challenge you to dream about your relationships, to dream about your marriage, to dream about a family and your career. And we're going to dream together about the future of this church. We're going to go through a dreaming period of time. The Bible is full of people who Abraham dreamed of being the father of a great nation. Moses dreamed of setting the people free. Joseph dreamed of saving the nation and his own family. Daniel and Paul and David, over and over and over, all through Scripture, all kinds of people who were inspiring dreamers. They didn't even have a verse that we have today. It's this verse in Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires and thoughts or hopes." Now that's a verse to put on your mirror. Now if ever there was a blank check verse in the Bible, that's the one. It says, God is able to do far more than we could dare ask. What are you afraid to ask God for? God is able to do more than we could even dream of. I don't know about you, but I can be a pretty big dreamer at times. God says, far will you think of the greatest thing you could ever dream of, the greatest thing you think I could do in your life, and guess what? I can top that. You know, so many times we limit God through our unbelief. I think one of the biggest, if there were tears in heaven, which Scripture says there aren't, but one of the biggest disappointments would simply be because we would get there and we would realize all the things that we could have done if we would have just have believed God for a little bit more. To me, that would be terrible. It would, to be shown everything I could have accomplished and done and become and been as a husband, as a father, as a man, as a pastor, all that I could have been and all that I could have done good in this world if I just believed God a little bit more. So I want to push you to believe God a little bit more. A little bit more than you have ever before, because God is able to do far more than we could ever dare ask or even dream of. Here's number six. I'm going to end with this one. Faith gives me the power to hold on in tough times. You know, I think that's why we're doing this Courageous Faith for 10 weeks, because it unlocks the promises of God. It shows us the power of God, and it turns dreams into reality. It gives us the power to hold on in those tough times. You know, why is this important? Because faith doesn't always take you out of the problem. We all know that. Faith doesn't take you out of the problem. It takes you through the problem. Faith doesn't always take away the pain. Faith gives you the ability to handle the pain. Faith doesn't make life heaven on earth. This world is never going to be heaven on earth. Things are never going to go perfectly on this planet. You will always have pain. You will always have suffering in your life. Faith gives you the ability to handle it. It didn't take you out of the storm. It calms you in the storm. I remember reading the stories of Corrie Ten Boom, who was a young woman sent to the Nazi death camps, the prison concentration death camps of Buchenwald and Auschwitz. And she said that people who lasted in those camps were those who had the deepest faith. Why is that? Because faith gives me the power to hold on in tough times. It produces persistence. It gives you the ability to bounce back. Study after study after study after study has shown that probably the most important characteristic you could teach a child, and probably the most important characteristic you need in your own life, if you're going to make it in life, is actually resilience. I heard one of the coaches interviewed after a Final Four loss. We had the Final Four couple weeks ago, and he was asked about his team. He said they're going to be great because their biggest strength is their resilience. Resilience, it's the ability to bounce back. It's the ability to keep going, even in the tough times. If you're going to make it in life, you have to have resilience. Why? Because nobody goes through their life with an unbroken chain of successes. Everybody has failures and flops and duds and mistakes. We all embarrass ourselves. Nobody goes through life scot-free. We all have pains. We all have problems. We all have pressures. The people who make it in life have resiliency. You don't want to know how many times I've wanted to resign as pastor at Echo Mountain Church. It's usually every Monday morning. I go, God, it's too much responsibility. I'm not smart enough. It's not growing. What am I supposed to say to the people? Get somebody else who can do a better job than this. Yet God says, keep on keeping on. Where do you get that keeping on, keeping on? There's so many times over the 16 years as a pastor, I've just wanted to give up. There's a lot of things I could have done that's easier. You know, what is it that keeps me going? It's faith. You know what? Being a pastor, I'm addicted to seeing what God's going to do next. I'm addicted to see what God does, life-changing people. You know, that's why I don't like to miss really any week at church, because I want to think, is maybe this is going to be the week that could change my life. I just never know if that's going to be the message that might just set a new direction for the next 5 or 10 years. I just want to be there and be there and be a part. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, this is Paul's testimony. He says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed and we're not broken. We're perplexed. That means confused. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We're attacked, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We get up and we keep going. Where do you get resilience like that? It's through faith. Now, do you see why you need to work on strengthening your faith? Probably more than anything else, why we're going to spend, you know, a couple months on it. Because it is faith that does these six things. It shrinks my problems. It opens the door for miracles. It moves God to act on my behalf. It unlocks all the promises of God. It turns dreams into reality. It gives me the power to hold on in the tough times. By the way, faith is a way that we get to know God. John 3:16, a verse that most of you know, says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, that means has faith in him, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith is the way that we get to know God. Now, as I said earlier, you can't claim the promises of God unless you know the man who made the promises. And his name is Jesus Christ. There might be somebody listening this morning who has not stepped across the line and given their lives to Christ. If you don't do that, you're not going to understand any of this. It's going to be a total waste the next 10 weeks. It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a little boy, and America started the space race. I'm pretty old. And we were racing the communists, or the Russians, to see who was going to get to the moon first. And for a while, Russia was actually ahead. They were sending up cosmonauts before we were, and traveling before our astronauts went out into space. And I remember a guy, Yuri Gagarin, and I didn't remember it, but I looked it up, who was a very famous Russian cosmonaut. And he is also an atheist. And he was the first man to go up and circle the earth. When he came down, he said this. He said, I was an eagle. He said, I searched the heavens and I found no God. I looked for God in the heavens, and when I was up there, I did not see him. There is no God. All of the atheists applauded and said, yeah, Yuri, you just proved there's no God. Well, a few months later, John Glenn, who, by the way, was a Christian and then later served as a senator, but was an astronaut in the Gemini program, he went up and circled the earth three times. Russians could do it once, we'll do it three times. But he circled the earth three times. And when John Glenn came down, his first words in his interview were, I saw God everywhere. He said, I felt his glory in the heavens. I saw his presence in the stars. I felt his power in the sun. I saw God everywhere. Now, which one was telling the truth? The answer is they both were. Because Jesus said in John 3, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see what God is doing behind the scenes. You can't see the miracles. You can't see the mighty things he's doing. You just can't see it because you're not tuned in. You can't see the promises. Friends, you need to give your life to Christ today. As we begin this series, you need to begin. You need to make sure that you know the author. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? I've got two prayers that I'd like you to pray. First, if you already know Jesus Christ and he's a part of your life and you're serving him as best you know how, I want you to just say this simple prayer. You can say it with me in your mind. Dear Jesus, help me to see with eyes of faith, not fear. Help me to see with eyes of faith, not fear. You might even say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. You might pray, Lord, use this series to challenge and stretch my faith so that I might be more of the person that you want me to be. I want to bring pleasure to your life. Now, if you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, then your simple step is to say, Jesus, as much as I know, I open my life, my heart to you. I confess that I have sinned and I'm not perfect. I want to learn to love you. I want to learn to trust you. I want to learn to follow you. I want to put my faith in you today. Strengthen my faith in your name, I pray.